Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved through His life. And more also, we rejoice in God through Jesus Christ, through whom we have also received the reconciliation. That's from Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Reconciled to God as enemies, why would man be at enmity with God? We know that God is perfectly holy, that He loves us, He's gracious and merciful. Oh, I remember that Isaiah made a statement in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. He said, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you so that He will not hear. That's an interesting thought. God is right where He has always been. Man, in his rebellion against God, has departed and has alienated himself from the only source of life. And that is a tragedy beyond description. But then, that statement, while we were enemies, we were reconciled unto God. You know, to conciliate is to bring about harmony, to bring together again, to reestablish peaceful relationships. Reconciliate, reconciliation would suggest the establishment of a condition that at one time existed, but no longer is to be observed. You know, that is the story of the Bible. I mean, from beginning to end, man's alienation from God and his reconciliation by the grace of the Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. Go with me back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was waste and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And so it was. For 6 days, God created this material universe that we observe all about us. And He created it, as Isaiah tells us, chapter 45, at verse 18. Oh, no, not to be a waste, but to be inhabited. God designed this whole world to be inhabited. You know, that's obvious when you read verse 11 of Genesis chapter 1. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herbs yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, wherein is the seed thereof upon the earth. And it was so. God created this earth full grown, right. The fruit trees bearing fruit, wherein is the seed thereof upon the earth, that's correct. And when He had created everything essential to man's happiness, the oil deposits, the coal beds, for man's comfort in the winter, the timber for construction, the fertility of the soil for man's sustenance, the animal life to assist in the work and to provide for his food. Everything essential, birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea. When He had completed this old world, He made the statement then in Genesis 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, the beasts of the field, over all cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And Jehovah God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. Most interesting indeed. You know, sometimes people have ideas about now how this universe had its beginning. Genesis chapter 1, the only logical and, I might add, scientific explanation for the origin of this universe. Every other hypothesis that has been advanced is, of course, ridiculous and has no basis in fact. Yes, God created the heavens and the earth to be inhabited by man. You know, Moses drops back in Genesis chapter 2, gives us a little more detail. You recall in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 2, Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So just as he created this earth fully developed to be inhabited, he created man full-grown, a responsible human being. That's what he said, isn't it? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Oh, now, we've observed many times on the program that Jesus said God is a spirit, John 4, verse 24. He also explained in verse 39 of Luke chapter 24 that spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. So we don't look like God. Oh, I know. We are immortal spirits, possessed of free moral agency. That is, we're creatures of choice. Now, notice again that statement in verse 7, when God from the dust of the earth formed man. Oh, we're told there he planted a garden eastward in Eden. And out of the garden he made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and in the midst of the garden the tree of life, and also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Someone asks, why would God put that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden in the first place? What was it we said? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. He created man a creature of choice. I must make a decision. That's why the two trees were in the garden. Eat of the tree of life, live forever. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, O God warned them, verse 17, thou shalt not eat thereof. Ah, he said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Made that very, very clear. So God has prepared everything for man's happiness and well-being, yes. But then came the alienation. Chapter 3 of Genesis. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Isn't it arranged, seemingly, so that man is very, very susceptible to the deception of Satan? It is. Why didn't Eve just say, hey, you know what God said as well as I do? Why would you ask about the only prohibition, the only negative thing in the garden? Friends, it should have been obvious that his intentions were less than honorable. Oh, Mother Eve said, of all the trees of the garden we may freely eat, but of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. As she knew what God said. Oh, but you know the story, and without a great deal of detail, when she saw that the fruit was good for food, probably the most succulent, delicious fruit in the garden, otherwise there'd be no temptation. Oh, when it was pleasant to the eye, some of the prettiest fruit in the garden. Oh, Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. When she saw that that fruit was desired to make one wise, she ate, gave to her husband, he did eat with her. Paradise is lost. Man is separated from the perfection of Eden. And as God said, he became subject to physical death that day. I remember that God said to him in chapter 3, verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Man is going to die. Eve made a decision based upon what? Lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. The pride of life. Isn't that what John was talking about? 1 John 2, verse 15, when he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world are lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Lust of the flesh, good for food. Lust of the, oh, pretty. Yes, had a fine desire to make one wise. Pride of life. Satan tempted Mother Eve in all three avenues. Now, Eve did not operate on the basis of ignorance. She knew exactly what God said. She made a choice based upon a lie. Then she followed Satan due to the desires of the flesh rather than to listen to the Almighty when he made the prohibition. It is amazing how people today do exactly the same thing. Now, in consequence of that violation, they were separated from paradise. Man is alienated from God. Therefore, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5 at verse 12. So man, through that sin, is alienated from God. But it is an interesting fact that God makes provision here for man's reconciliation to himself. You remember the statement that he made to Satan? He's addressing the serpent. He said, verse 15, Genesis 3, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head a fatal blow, and thou, Satan, shall bruise his heel, a minor wound by comparison. So God here is making a promise that there will come a time when the possibility of reconciliation will be available to responsible humanity. Now, God has made it quite clear what is required by Him to bring about this reconciliation. You see, throughout the Old Testament, and that was written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope, Romans 15, verse 4. Oh, I remember that Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, these things happen unto them by way of example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Oh, so the Old Testament then provides us one example after another of the basis upon which I may come into a right relationship with God. You remember Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. When they grew up, Cain became a tiller of the soil, honorable occupation. And Abel, he also became a keeper of the sheep. Now, it came to pass in process of time that Cain brought of the first fruit of the ground an offering unto Jehovah. Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. Now, just looking at that, looks good. Adam and Eve have done a good job of these boys. They recognize the source of life's blessings, the fertility of the soil, a gift of God. And Cain realized that. And he wanted to honor God. He's willing to sacrifice. He brought the first fruits of his labors, a sacrifice. The next statement says, unto Abel and to his gift God had respect, but unto Cain and to his gift God had not respect. Well, someone is going to ask why. They're both willing to sacrifice. They both recognize God. They want to Hebrews 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness with respect to his gifts, and through it he being dead yet speaketh. Wait a minute. Abel offered by faith? Right. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing with the word of God, Romans 10, 17. Oh, then God told these boys what to offer. Why, certainly. Abel did what he said. Cain did something else. Now, friends, it doesn't matter what else you're doing. How sacrificial you may be in doing it. How religious you may be. How good. How much you... Friend, that's beside the point. God respects only His own will. I can only be reconciled to God on the basis of faith. If faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, that's illustrated time and time again. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1, came to pass, men began to multiply upon the face of the ground. Daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, took unto them wives of all that they chose. Well, every thought and imagination of man's heart came to be evil, repented God that he had made man, and he resolved to destroy all in whose nostrils is breathed the breath of life in a great flood. Now, verse 8 says, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. What does grace do? Gives instruction. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. Oh, we understand that. God said to Noah, make thee an ark, make it of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, pitch it within and without with pitch, three decks, and one door in the side thereof, one window to a cubit upward shalt thou finish it. 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. What is this? Grace. God giving instructions through which Noah can escape death in the flood. What did Noah do? Oh, the last verse of chapter 6, verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, what does God call that? Oh, Hebrews 11 at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. God will only accept our faith, compliance with the instruction that He gives. Now, we could go on and illustrate that time and time again. But let's go to Galatians chapter 4 at verse 4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, making preparation for reconciliation of sinners, such as I, to Himself. God does nothing prematurely. In the fullness of time, sent forth His Son. Why did Jesus come? Oh, Hebrews 10, at verse 7. Then said I, Lo, I'm come. In the roll of the book that is written of me, to do Thy will, O God. That's why Christ came into the world, specifically. Oh, Luke 19, verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, that's why Jesus came into the world. Right. How can He do that? Now, you remember the promise of Genesis 3, verse 15. The seed of the woman, whom we know to be Jesus Christ, would deliver a fatal blow to the head of Satan while suffering a bruised heel. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, He also Himself partook of the same, that through death He might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus came. He suffered a bruised heel. He died the horrible death of crucifixion, but 3 days later, He won a victory over Satan and bringing life to sinners such as I. It is a marvelous thing. This reconciles, someone says, well, just a minute. If Christ dying brought to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, why is Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, why would that be true? Oh, listen to it. Jesus said, Enter ye in at the narrow gate. For broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Oh, but narrow the gate, and straitened, compressed, limited, difficult, the way that leadeth unto life everlasting, and few there be that find it. If Christ brought to naught the power of Satan, and made life available to those of us who were fearful of death because we were uncertain of the consequences, why are most men lost, friends? They do exactly what Mother Eve did. She made a conscious decision. Oh, not to follow God's instruction. She knew God's instruction. Oh, we can know God's instruction. Every scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. Oh, and you delete the proper name from the Bible, Old and New Testaments. Length of the average word is a little less than 5 letters. Oh, indeed. We can understand the Lord's will. That's not the problem. Men are unwilling to walk according to the Lord's instruction. You see, justification is by faith. Didn't Paul say that? Romans 5, verse 1. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have our access into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Salvation is by faith, right. You can only be justified on the basis of faith. That's correct. Well, faith comes with hearing by the word of God. What did God say to Eve? Don't eat the fruit of that tree. Well, she understood that perfectly. What'd she do? She did what Satan said. Well, men today are being misled by Satan. They talk about the Bible and parts of it at least being irrelevant, non-essential, unnecessary, or, you know, God didn't mean what He said, or you don't have to do that. Friend, God means exactly what He said. Yes, sir. That's why most men are in the broad way that leads to destruction. What was it Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18? Oh, he said the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved is the power of God. Oh, for it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. Ah, yes. The world through its wisdom knew not God. Right. Well, God determined through what men would consider foolishness, that is, through the foolishness of the preaching, to save them that believe. Seeing the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek after wisdom, oh, but we preach Christ crucified. unto Jews a stumbling block, unto Gentiles foolishness. Oh, but unto us who are called, it's the power of God. The wisdom, weakness of God is stronger than man. The foolishness of God is wiser than man. Behold your calling, brethren. Not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Oh, but God chose the foolish things to confound the wise. God chose the weak things to confound the mighty. God chose the base things, the things that are despised, yea, and the things that are not, that he may bring to naught the things that are. Why? Oh, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his sight. Friend, if you are to be reconciled to God, you have to hear the Lord. Yeah, but somebody says, preacher, doesn't make sense. Oh, there are many illustrations covering that. Absolutely. You remember Numbers chapter 21, 4 through 9. Speaking of Israel in the wilderness, they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. The soul of the people is much discouraged because of the way. They murmured against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And because they murmured, God sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Oh, then they came to Moses and said, we've sinned against Jehovah and against thee. Pray unto Jehovah that he take away the fiery serpents from among us. Moses, always faithful, prayed to God. God said, make thee a serpent of brass and put it on a pole in the middle of the camp. It'll come to pass if a man is bitten, when he looks for the serpent of brass, he'll live. Moses took a piece of brass, fashioned it into the likeness of a serpent, put it on a standard in the midst of the camp. Oh, verse 9 says, and it came to pass if a man was bitten, when he looked to the serpent of brass, he lived. When he looked to the serpent of brass, someone says, what in the world is the connection between looking at a piece of brass and a curing snake bite? None. That's for the natural man. You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14? Oh, that's the way most people govern their lives, by the physical senses. Only what they can see and hear and smell and taste, etc. No. Salvation is by faith. Oh, well, why is it that verse 9 says, if a man was bitten when he looked at the serpent of brass, he lived? Oh, God said he would. Right? God said he would. What God say? Look at the serpent of brass. Somebody says, that's foolish. Fine, you don't have to look. You can die. You see, we're like Adam and Eve. We have a choice. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You need to make up your mind in a hurry, because you're not here very long. Meet none coming back to right any wrongs or to correct any mistakes. Friends, our reconciliation to God is as simple as ABC. As a matter of fact, it's so simple, as Paul explained there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 29, that most men stumble over it. How can I be reconciled to God? Oh, without faith it's impossible to be well-pleasing to Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. Well, I remember that Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. No question about that. How can I believe? Oh, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What does the Word of God require of me, a believer, to repent? Acts 17 at verse 30. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. Oh, then we're to confess Him before men? Romans 10, 9 and 10. That eunuch said, didn't he? Verse 37, Acts chapter 8. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's adequate. Commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. Why is this eunuch rejoicing? He's saved. How do you know he's saved? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. This fellow said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he was baptized. Oh, then, that's the way we're reconciled to God. Why, certainly. Faith in Jesus Christ leads me, by love, to turn away from the practice of my sins. I want to be like Him who died to redeem my soul. And I'm honored to be able to confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart. Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. How do I get into Christ? Oh, you're baptized into Christ. Romans 6, 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Oh, that scriptural baptism of which there is but one. Ephesians 4 at verse 5. Need to keep that in mind. Sometimes people sprinkle. No, rantism has nothing to do with it. It's baptism. It's a burial, the element of water, John chapter 3 at verse 5. Friends, reconciliation to God for fallen humanity is a matter of faith, that leads one, motivated by love, to do the will of the Master, thus to be baptized into Jesus Christ. May God help us to understand and accomplish His will. I have people to tell me frequently, "Preacher, I know what you're saying is true, and I'd obey it, but I'm afraid I can't live it." Well, certainly not. I always agree with it. No, it's out of the question. You see, when you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you come forth out of the waters of scriptural baptism, a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Oh, but more than that, you're under the protective custody of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. Now listen, this is linear, continuous. And the blood of Jesus Christ, quite literally, keeps on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. That's the only way a sinner such as I can stand in a right relationship with God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. Friends, obey the Lord. Salvation is by faith.